Can we all stand? Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. Lord, I lift this message and give it to you, and I'm going to speak as of the oracles of God by your grace. And, just guide my lips this morning. And guide our ears, and also just asking input from the congregation here at, with the sermon. I ask that you guide their lips too, that we may work together and let iron sharpen iron, so that your will may be accomplished. We ask these things in your holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning, everyone. I do welcome the visitors. Also welcome the Kravitz are back. It's good to have you all back after your trip to New York there. And may God add his blessing on the service this morning. And James, I appreciate your perspective there, your words. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to touch on Philippians, even though this is going to be more of a topical sermon. I know we've touched on Philippians quite a bit recently. Let's go to chapter 1. And I am going to read verses 9 through 11. In this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. The title of my message is Approving That Which Is Excellent. I've been studying a little bit the word, the Greek word is dokimazo, and it's translated different ways in the New Testament. It's translated in this case approve. It's also translated test, allow, and so it's just a word that I'd like to focus on today. Other scriptures that use this word, if we can turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. Actually, I'll start with verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 through 22, we don't need to turn there, but I'll read it here. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. That word prove, the first word of that passage is that same word, dokimazo. And then back to Ephesians, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. That word proving is the same word as well. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try, or dokimazo, the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Let me tell you ahead of time, I would covet your input. I'm going to leave some time to get your input. I have some questions, you know, for all of us. So, Brother Elvin, if you could be ready with one or two handheld mics. But the main point I'd like to bring out is we have the responsibility and the calling to test things to see if they are good and excellent. The responsibility is not solely the ministry, but as the church, more as a whole. At least that's what seems to to be said here with Paul. That's Paul's prayer for the Philippian church. It's also a commandment to the Thessalonians. And then John commands what I assume to be the church at large, try the spirits whether they of God. So it's something that's done corporately, you know, and not just with the ministry or not just with one or two brothers there. And I don't know if you've ever, when we talk about testing things, we'll talk more about what that involves and what we test and how we test, but there's so many different churches in this county, so many different variations, you know, even of kingdom type churches. And so I don't know if it's ever been, you know, scary to you to try to come to a conclusion on a doctrine or an application, knowing that you're probably going to have people, maybe many people, that are going to take more of a liberal stand and many people that are going to take more of a conservative stand. And so the thought is, how can we come to, you know, God's heart on something? But I just, if you ever experience that, you know, that trepidation, I just encourage you to put that aside and just by faith take that responsibility that God has given us. I know we all walk through a glass or see through a glass darkly. So that there's a humility that we need to have, and yet the responsibility is still there. The purpose of testing is to appreciate good things, to lift up the good and the true. It's also just necessary that, you know, some of the things that we do test we'll find not to be, you know, fitting, not to be something that we deem as good. And I say that because, you know, there can be a tendency, if we're not careful, to be so exacting and just to have a heart of finding something wrong with this or that. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if I've had that tendency in my own heart. So I just want to encourage all of us to, you know, just to have the focus on what is good and right. And being consistent with Philippians 4, I can read it here quickly as far as just what we dwell on. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on such things. So hopefully that will help us have the right focus as we go about and we test. So I have some questions for you, and this is where I'd really appreciate your input. I'll go ahead and give all the questions now. If it helps to have these questions in your mind as we go through the sermon. First question I have is, when do we test? Second question, what do we test? The third question, how do we test? And then the fourth question, it's kind of twofold. Why do we test? Or you can phrase it this way, what happens if we don't test? So the first question, and I'd like to hear, I've got a couple of things written down for this. I don't have a lot, but first question, when do we test? Any thoughts? Is maybe you can, you know, ask yourself, how often do we test? Or are there any, you know, any events that may trigger a need to, you know, examine? Does that make sense? What, any thoughts? Let me just go ahead and give my first one here. When do we test? On a regular basis. And, you know, we have to define exactly how long that is, but, you know, I've seen in one particular church with written standards there. I'm not speaking for or against, but a church, if you're going to have that, they need to be re-examined. Sometimes the principle may stay the same, but the application may change. Maybe the environment in which you live may change. Maybe other circumstances may bring about a different application. So, you know, possibly, and I'm not an expert here, but when cars, this is a long time ago, when cars first came out, you know, maybe some of the reasons that the Anabaptist group put aside cars may have been valid. And, you know, maybe it just over time, and again, I'm speculating here, those things just weren't re-examined. And as culture started to change, you know, you still have many people that don't use cars. And I'm not here to condemn, but I do want to lift up that idea of just re-examining, even things that we've examined before, to make sure, are we testing correctly? Are we seeing things rightly as far as application? When else do we test? Brother Ed, and then Brother Nathan after that.
Well, back to when we test. The Bereans search the Scriptures daily.
Okay.
So it's a daily thing. They search the Scriptures. And what they tested, they were testing out what Paul preached, and he was an inspired preacher.
Mm-hmm.
So the inspired preacher needs to be tested, and probably every other preacher needs to be checked too. And when it says try the spirits, I understand that means try the preachers.
Okay.
So we need to check it out, make sure it's according to the Scriptures, and then hold on to that which is good. And it says prove all things. So it's all things, not just here and there, but all things need to be tested, which means the Scriptures too. We need to test to know that the Scriptures indeed are inspired as they claim to be.
Yes. Okay. Good. Thank you. So daily, at least we see that example of that. And Brother Nathan.
I think we need to be on the alert and test whenever there's some new doctrine or influence that's something that's different than what we've been hearing, or maybe it's, you know, sometimes there's new ideas come floating around that mm-hmm. are not something we're used to. Then we need to test it. So does this line up with the Word of God?
Right. Okay. So new things, and you know they come up. We live in a culture that, especially with technology, you know, we'll get to that later, but technology changes rapidly. So we need to have an eye on technology. The effects of it, what are some good things, what are some not so good things, some cautions. So, but new things. Anything else? I've got a couple of things here. Some of these things are going to overlap. But maybe when we're being introduced to a new culture or, you know, missions. It can be local missions or certainly, you know, cross-culture where you go, you know, to another country. That's a time for examination. You know, you're examining the culture. Again, not to condemn it, but just to, you know, to see what are some things that we hold on to. What are some things that we appreciate about this culture that may even be, you know, different from our culture, that may surpass, you know, our culture, and then also concerns. Another thing that I have is maybe when we see unexpected problems come up within a church or a family or an individual, ourselves included, if you've ever seen a family that, and it can happen more in a larger church, that may from the outside seem to have all their ducks in a row, and then maybe some serious issues come up with the family, and you may get taken by surprise. And then, you know, at that point, it's a good time to not, you want to do it in love, but, you know, examine. It could be ourselves. It could be our own family. Now, move on to the next question. What do we test? And I can go ahead and say the Scripture says all, but what does all mean? You know, what maybe be a good thing to write these down. What do we test? Any thoughts? We mentioned one of them already. About technology. Many of you heard, and I don't know how they measure this, how often technology doubles, for what, however you measure that. I've heard this said. Does anybody know how often technology doubles? Every 5 years. So, you know, with that, technology basically grows exponentially. So it, chances are down the road something's coming that we'll need to evaluate. And, you know, some big item. Before it was the smartphone, and not sure exactly what it'll be next, but I trust those things are coming. So, James. Test the spirits. Very good. And I think, based on the context, spirits are talking about literal spirits here. Now, there are other applications that I think that would, you know, would be sound, but definitely test the spirits. That's very clear in the scriptures. Anything else? Ed. Okay. Test. Okay. Well, let me put traditions. All right. Let's try the blue. There we go. It should be better. Bigger? Okay. Pardon me. Let's get this right a little bit bigger here. Traditions. Not that all traditions are bad. Some of them are very good. But it should be tested. You know, especially if there's something that we haven't given much thought to. If you've heard the phrase, well, that's, and I don't hear that much here, but that's the way we've always done it. That's a sign we should examine. Anything else? Great. Very good. Methods of evangelism. Methods of evangelism. We see many different approaches, and sometimes there are consequences if we take the wrong method or get off balance. On either side, it seems like in most cases, I would guess in so many situations there are ditches on both sides that we need to avoid. It's, testing is not a matter, and I know we're getting a little bit more of how we're testing, but testing is not, here's a ditch, let's stay as far away from that ditch as we can. I don't think that's good. Sometimes it's just a matter of balance. Methods of evangelism. Anything else? I think just basic things of life or basic things of culture. About music. What else? Attitudes? Okay. Well, I think that's good. That may go with something that I was going to bring up. Let me hold off because I want to get to some of these things before, but I want to definitely come back to that. How about fashion? You know, clothing. And not only clothing, but vehicles can be a fashion statement if we're not careful. So I'm just going to put fashion. Anything else? Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's good. Fashion is, you know, it's like, you know, technology. It's always changing, and you're always going to be seeing something that you know, maybe never. There's always going to be new things, you know, and sometimes old things come back with fashion, but. Okay, that's a very good one. Yes. Biblical translations, yes. You have to dig pretty deep sometimes when you're talking about, you know, texts. In which text family comes up, how to text, or pardon, not how to text, how to translate. And then also, you know, cultural things that could come in. You know, we talk about the gender-neutral translation that, I mean, I don't know if I've ever aired anything like that that's, you know, from the Greek. But you know, I would guess that these things are just more due to the age that we live in. Nothing to do with the actual translation. You know, quality or methods. That's the word I'm looking for. Let me see what else I have. Anything else? I've got a couple more things. Recreation. Pardon me? Oh, medical? Okay, medical drugs. Medicine. That's excellent. I didn't have that one listed. You've got medicine, and then you have sometimes things can drift into to witchcraft. And if you know, if we're not careful, undiscerning. Any others? Yes. Great. What I'm going to do, I'm going to get to another part here. I'm going to bring in Christian culture, and that's a big one. I guess I've been pretty generic up to this point, but let me hold that thought, and I want to come back to that. Two others I'll go through quickly. Recreation, you know, what we do with our time when we're not at work, when we are, you know, not at church. Sometimes it can involve church activities. I'm not saying that recreation's wrong, but what's, you know, sports, for example. How do we judge whether or not something is going too far? You know, you have just simple, you know, games with the children, and then all the way to, you know, your professional and college sports that really just really grab our hearts. So how to discern? That's something that should be tested. Where do we draw lines with recreation, with you know, with vehicles and things like that? You know, so one more that I had would be education. Yes, that's a big one. I mean, I thought of college education. You know, I'm not condemning the idea of college education, but it's something that's, you know, should be examined. You definitely have the world's influence coming in. And so how do you discern, you know, what classes to take, whether or not to go to college? Write that down here. These recreation and education. I'll just put it here. Now, if we can move on to get a little bit more specific. And we touched it a little bit on it a little bit when we talked about methods of evangelism, but I want to talk about Christian, you know, culture. Maybe getting more specific there. And Sister Rachel, you brought up books. That's a very good thing. I'll just write that down. And we have, you know, in America, we have a lot of books. Some are very good, and, you know, there are some, I'll bring up an example of what, at least as far as I remember, being a very good book, even though it's a man that we wouldn't necessarily agree with as far as, you know, his theology, some of his practical application, but To Train Up a Child. It's been a while since I've looked at that book, and if I remember, I'm open to correction there, but it seemed to be very good, you know, very sound, some really good things in it. And then there are some others that, you know, we may have real concerns about. And it's good that we bring up books because they're very, very popular. And we have so many of them. You go to a you know, to a maybe a convenience store, a gas station, and you see, you know, so many of these little book racks that have Christian books with, you know, Christian lingo, and, well, do we automatically assume that these are good? Some may be, some may not. It's something that we really need to be aggressive towards looking at. Anything else as far as our Christian culture that we see and that we're exposed to? How about popular preachers? You know, some may be very good, and you may be able to get some very good things from, you know, John MacArthur. You know, that would be an example of, at least in the past, I've been really blessed by some of his writings. And yet there's some things we wouldn't agree with that we need to be careful of as far as, I believe he's Reformed. And so our Reformation theology is, yeah, it's something we need to be aware of. And especially, and if I'll go ahead and say this, as we're raising another generation, you know, they can't test, some of them, depending on their age. They're not able to test. And we as a brotherhood, not only as fathers, but I think the whole brotherhood, we need to, you know, to do our part in examining these things. Because they're going to affect the next generation that comes up. So let me write that down. Preachers. I think it's okay to put music. Because, I mean, let's face it. You know, maybe some of the greater difficulties haven't necessarily been some of the things that come on the radio, on secular radio. I mean, there seems like it's easier to draw lines there and see those, but when elements of music come into, you know, even our Anabaptist circles, it's something that we need to keep an eye on. They're harder to keep an eye on because it's, you know, things are a little mixed there. Methods of worship. Okay. Concept of worship. Let me see what else I have written down here. And some just biblical examples here. 1 Timothy 3:10. Potential deacons. Paul says to let these men be proved. Let me find the passage here. We'll come back to that, Lord willing, later. First Timothy 3:10. And let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. So there seems to be a process. You see a man that seems qualified, let there be a proving, let there be a testing. And then, you know, if they're found worthy of your office, being found blameless, then let them go ahead and take the office. Another thing to test, how about ourselves? How about our own hearts? 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So we'll talk a little bit more about the why we test, at least in ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13 also, just won't quote it word for word, but just the whole concept of examining yourself, seeing if you be in the faith. Galatians chapter 6. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. So ourselves, we need to take great care to examine ourselves. Brother Ken, what you had mentioned, attitudes, I've got written down the general heartbeat of a person, a family, or a church. Jesus, I wonder if Jesus did that when he wrote letters to the seven churches. I think this would be a good example of testing, perfect testing, coming from Jesus himself. He lists a lot of good things about the Ephesians there, but he also says, but you left your first love. Now, what that exactly means, I'm not necessarily here to say, but he does talk about what seems to be, or at least possibly, heart matters. More things like that. And then referring to Laodicea as a lukewarm church. So that's definitely a hard issue. And Brother Denny had a message, I guess it would have been in the 90s, Spirit of Law and the Spirit of Grace. Who has listened to that sermon? Okay. It's excellent. Yeah, it is excellent. And what he does, he really tries to encourage the congregation at the time to just look at the big picture. What's driving your heart. It talks about attitudes. He talks about attitudes. And it's more maybe just taking a step back and looking at the big picture as opposed to getting so wrapped up in details, which I confess I struggle with big picture things and can tend to get overly detailed. I'm sure it affects me in the spiritual life too. But there are times, and I think we need to do this regularly, where we just take a step back and examine our hearts and how are we doing? And this is where it's good to get other brothers. Bless Nathan, Brother Mose, for the last little while just working with me and some of my needs. And they're big picture things. They're maybe a little hard to see when you examine yourself under a microscope. So, anything else as far as what we test? Brother Ellen. Social exchange? Okay, very good. We could put that over here on more of the general. Social exchange. How we interact with the world around us. Yeah, that's very good. That's something it's good to examine. God has a heartbeat for us there. Anything else? Yes, Brother Ed. Right. Okay. The social gospel. I'll write that down in a Christian culture. I don't know if this is exactly what you meant, but there is a focus today that by itself is good. There's emphasis on feeding the poor, but it's sometimes you wonder, is it just a way of putting aside some of the more practical issues of holiness, some very basic that are being cast aside today, when we talk about homosexual marriage or whatever those things are. You hear the emphasis on Christ fed the poor and Christ did this, which he did. He did those kind of things, and we don't want to neglect him, but we want to look at the trends and see what's happening and where do we need to watch our, how do we make sure that we're going the right direction here. Okay, my next question is, how do we test? I'll go ahead and start with a scripture here. Romans 12. One and two. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that word prove is dokimazo. So we see, you know, before, or at least hand in hand with proving what is good and acceptable and perfect, is not being conformed to the world, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Without that, if you're not, if you're letting the world shape your thinking, if you're not renewing your mind in the Word of God, then to be able to discern the will of God, I think is going to be quite a challenge. But beyond that, you know, and we've got the preparation there, or something. I don't know if it's preparation, but something that goes, you know, definitely a part of that. And but what else? How do we test? In what manner do we test? Brother Mose. Okay, it's very good. With, I think if I want to write these things down too, maybe not, but with the spirits there, that's the clear test. Is Jesus Christ come in the flesh? And I'm sure when we talk about, you know, the supernatural there, I'm sure many of you have experienced that where people, maybe speaking in a tongue or whatever, just don't do it. They say, no, I don't believe it. Or they say, yes. Yes, James. Now, are you talking about spirits specifically? Yeah, well, let me, maybe I'm not giving the question here well. Maybe a word that I have is, how do we test carefully? Let me go to 1 Timothy 5:22 through 25. And I'm talking about, you know, the state of our heart when we test. I'm open to practical things too. But let me read 1 Timothy 5:22 through 25. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before the judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also, the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. So I think the point is, Paul is saying, give a man time. It's similar to what he says in, you know, about deacons and having a time of testing. He says, don't be too quick to ordain someone in the ministry because you may not see fruit of a man's life that may be coming out. Maybe the fruit is difficult to see, or maybe it just hasn't come yet. So that can happen. You know, we don't want to assume that, you know, a man maybe comes to our congregation and seems to on the outside have a strong Christian life. And Paul's saying in a situation like that, give a man time. Make sure you see everything that's going to be manifested. So we have carefully. One that's very basic here. Examine according to the Word of God. What if the Word isn't clear? Or what if what if the word can be applied in different ways? Which it can. You have varying degrees. Where do you go from there? How do you test, Brother Moses?
Determining as to whether something edifies.
Okay.
Is in Scripture different times that it does this or that, but it doesn't edify or add to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think spiritual people can determine whether something edifies and holds this.
Okay, great.
Builds us up.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it
Whether it weakens us. Yes. Questions I have written it down. Where does an application lead? How does it affect our hearts? Does it appeal to the flesh? Galatians chapter 5. Does it choke out spiritual life? Does it, like you said, Brother Moses, does it edify? Does it push away the love of the Father out of our hearts? In 1 John 2:15-17. So that's good. I think maybe a way to say it is examine the fruit. Look at the fruit. And that can be a good gauge in determining how to interpret Scripture. There are many ways to look at Scripture. Many. I've got a couple of more here. Graciously. We want to test graciously. I'm going to read a verse that doesn't, the subject isn't testing, but Ephesians 4:1-2. Maybe it's just go to 3 here. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I'll focus here on all lowliness and meekness with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. That's how we test, because when we test, when we examine things, so many times we have the potential of stepping on someone's toes, of let's say we're testing the music or whatever it is, methods of evangelism. These things maybe have been lifted up by maybe someone in our circles or someone in our own congregation. And, to speak against those things, sometimes those things need to get done, but, there's a graciousness and humility which we need to have. Or there's going to be offenses. So graciously, we're dealing with, so many times we're dealing with souls, and so many times some of these things that we discuss, that we examine, maybe some people in our congregation are already latching on to, and so it's critical how we deal with that in order to do our best to win their hearts back. If maybe a young person is going into error. So graciously, carefully, according to the Word of God, examining the fruit. And then I've got written here impartially. James, I think it's the end of chapter 3, but the wisdom which is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality. And without hypocrisy. How easy is it to be impartial if maybe a family member has a theology that maybe the congregation struggles with? There's such a tendency to want to grab onto it ourselves and not separate theology from the love of the person. And so that's a real temptation. And on the other side, there's, if you're maybe offended by someone, you have a hard time hearing what he has to say. And that's not something we want to do either. Now, if we can get a little more practical, still on how we're how we're testing. We already talked about examining according to the Word of God. And again, staying with the practical. Do we do it as a group? Do we do it as individuals? How does that work itself out? How do we test in, as far as that respect? Any thoughts, brothers? Okay. Both. Okay. That's good. And biblically you see that. We already talked about those passages that mention examining ourselves. But we also, if we look at 1 John, and here it specifically talks about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit and the anointing. Give an example here. Verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Ye, and ye is the plural. Continue is, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. So, I mean, that's just an example. You know, we see that element of the Spirit working with a brotherhood. The Spirit is not schizophrenic. He's not going to tell one brother this, and then he's not going to tell another brother something totally opposite. So there's a working together that needs to take place. And it's done together. And if we look at just the fact that Paul wrote his admonitions to the church and churches. There's times where he mentions, gives responsibility to maybe Timothy there in testing deacons. So that could be more along the lines of the responsibility given to individuals, but yet the church is involved. We need each other. We are a body. I've got written here, well, going along with that, be slow to examine too much by yourselves without the help of a brotherhood. Whether it be even examining your own life, but also examining, you know, many of the things we talked about. You know, if you're on an island, trying to figure out where you are with music. I trust God can work there, but yet isn't. I think it's better to do these things as a brotherhood. Yeah, otherwise, you may have, you know, things in your heart that you don't see that may skew your ability to see. And let's say your heart is just 100% clear. We're fallen men. You know, we can get deceived. It can happen, even with pure and upright hearts. I've also got written here, give special regard towards the opinions of the mature or of them that are of, quote, full age, in Hebrews 5:14, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So if we can see that, you know, a man has, you know, exercised himself and just is generally walking well in the Christian life as far as his ability to discern and walking in that, let's be slow to put that thing to the side that he's bringing up, a concern. You know, if you see a church, and if you see an older man that, you know, his counsel is being ignored, maybe he's wrong, but yet, let's be careful. Let's be careful not to put those things that his counsel away, or her counsel. And then I've got written down here, note the positives. I think that can be a good measure of humility. But Jesus does it. Yeah, Jesus makes it a point to bring up, you know, to Ephesus. We won't go through them all, but to many of the churches, he makes it a point to bring out the good. And in two churches, he has nothing but positive things to say about the churches, which makes the, you know, the letter to the Laodiceans, you know, that much more chilling, because he has nothing good to say. You wonder, would he have said something? You know, if he would have had good things to say, I would guess that he would have said them. So that's a good thing when we are, you know, examining someone or something, to appreciate the good things that they have. And maybe they, like I've mentioned before, maybe they exceed the same thing in our own life. And Jesus wasn't out to condemn. He was out to correct and bring people back, call people to repentance as needed. Now, my last question here. What happens if we don't test? Or again, you can write it or say it this way. Why do we test? Yes, Brother Mose.
Easy to be led into error.
Mm-hmm. 1 John 4. Many false prophets are gone out into the world. And so I think the assumption is, if we don't test, we're going to be likely to grab a hold of something. Whether that be your spirits, or in this case, he's talking about prophets. There's a lot out there. And if we're raising another generation in the faith, we need to examine. We need to make it a regular part of our life as a brotherhood, you know, to examine. And otherwise, I would wonder if you get swept up into one of two ditches. Number one, you could get, you know, in the ditch of the world, or, you know, Christianity that's weak and, you know, that has faults and error. Whether it be about the fashions that, getting swept away by fashions or fads or whatever. Or you can, you know, I don't think this happens to as many people, go into the ditch of dry legalism. And, you know, we do see it in this county. And it can happen to us. If our hearts aren't right, if we maybe don't walk in humility, or just miss some of the basic things that God would have us to, you know, to grab a hold of. So that's the message I have, and I just, in closing, I just want to encourage all of us, myself included, to examine. Again, not to just pick something apart for the sake of picking something apart. That's not good. We want to do this to preserve ourselves, preserve our congregation, and to enjoy and to appreciate those things that are good and pleasing and right unto the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing.
Well, thank you, Mark. That was interesting. I had to think how profitable it would probably be for us to take a number of those that are on the board and have a good discussion on them, Bible study among us as brother or brothers meeting even. But there's just so many things that we find the pressures pressing in among us in accepted Christianity, and right here in this county, that need to be tested, need to be questioned. I appreciated the medicine thing that was brought up, and my, that is just so such a major thing. I have some very close relatives who are accepting acupuncture today because these doctors are going more and more into the Oriental or Eastern medical practices, or I would consider them more New Age practices, or maybe even occultic at times. And we have to be so careful who we go to today that they'll try to lead us into that. I think of the dangers of social media and higher education and the fashion. And these are not always, I find, here in the county, and many other places too, even among the plain people, that these are not the fashions of Hollywood many times or the world, but even the fashions among the plain people. Fads that spring up, the next thing you see where major parts of the society, the plain society, is adopting those kind of fashions. And I think it's good for us to see that, know that, and to not go, not allow ourselves to be drawn in. Yeah. I've seen a lot of them in my 50 years plus years of Christianity, and it's just to see the effect of them. All right. Well, anyone else have a word to give? Testimony, raise your hand. We'll get you a microphone and let you share if you have something to share. Over here, Sister Becky, and up here. Nathan?
Yeah, I appreciate the message. It's certainly something that I think we need to be thinking about. One area that I've just been made more aware of recently is in the area of media in general. I got a few CDs when we were out there in Indiana several days ago on the influence that media has had in our culture. It's just been really eye-opening to me by a series of teachings by a man by the name of Harry Argo, who's done a lot of research into that, and just in the last few years has now become part of the Anabaptist community. But, you know, he's passionate about helping us to understand the influences. Because there is, it's just not a matter of technology. It's a matter of the influences behind it, the things
right.
that are coming across through the media that's, you know, we've historically have rejected the influence of the television for that reason. And the radio to some degree or another in our history. But the and yet there's just ever abounding avenues where we can be influenced by various forms of media, because not so much the media itself, but what's coming across on it. And there's we have to be discerning. We just can't just accept whatever comes down the pike. We have to be open our eyes and understand what's going on behind the scenes. And so, you know, whether it's, you know, watching a movie, for instance, there's concepts, there's principles that are being pushed.
Right.
And oftentimes they're subtle. Even in so-called Christian things that are even good and clean, we have to be very much on guard.
Right.
And so I just appreciate the challenges of this morning.
I spent the night at Wayne and Patty Waldner's in Wisconsin there on Wednesday night. Well, then next morning we got up, and even that night we discussed that. He's a computer programmer, I think, and Patty, if you know Patty, she's a very discerning mother, lady there. And Wayne just finally summed it up. He said, you know, the media is going somewhere with all these things, even though it's gradual, it's all going somewhere. And at some point, we'll probably have to get off the train. And that's today we can kind of wiggle our way through it, you know, and use it for good and shun the evil of it. But he said it seems like talking about artificial intelligence and computers being able to communicate with each other and being smarter than men and many things that seem to be in the offing for the future. So, yes, Becky.
I'm sometimes very surprised that that's not our
how Christians should act.
How Christians should act when he's away from everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that there's a big ado made about the Caribbean cruise coming up in February, next February, supposedly the Christian sail and play cruise is being advertised already. And they're going to the hottest beaches of Mexico and other Caribbean islands in the pursuit of that, and are trying to fill this thing with hundreds of Christians to take to these places and then entertain them for 10 days or so on the ship, along with the raw world of exotic foods and nakedness and everything that goes with it. I just don't understand, you know, that is what should be promoted along with ventriloquism and of entertainment and using ventriloquism to entertain, which is very questionable to be demonic at its best, and many other things that could be put on the list. But who are we? What are we? Where are we going? What are we? Are we being edified by being made to laugh till we nearly roll on the floor laughing? That's doesn't seem compatible with the way Jesus and the disciples lived. Anyone else?
I think, speaking of media, I think it's called the World Wide Web for a reason. You know, web gets you entangled and it's hard to get out of it.
Yeah.
I think it's also important that we teach our children to be discerning.
Yes.
It's one thing to cloister them and keep them away from all these evils, but one day they're going to grow up and they're going to have to face these things. We need to teach them how to deal with these things, how to deal with the false teaching, how to deal with the other things that they're going to run into. Yeah. Teach them to be discerning. And notice in 1 John 4, when he says, try the spirits, and he applies it to the false prophets, that there are two tests, and you gave one earlier, that it's whether they say that Jesus Christ came in the flesh.
Right.
Then verse 6 gives a second one, and that's whether they listen to the teaching of the apostles. It says, we are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us, he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So many of these false teachers will pass that first test. Yeah. They believe that Jesus came in the flesh, but they don't pass that second one.
Yeah. A third one would be whether they prophesy and the prophecies don't come true. The Old Testament says don't bother with them. It's nothing. They don't mean anything. You know, if they are making prophecies that do not come to pass, then we should consider them false prophets. And there's a lot of that. Well, they say we miss some and hit some, you know, and they excuse it. It's just, well, you know, we get some of them right. Well, I think nearly anybody can do that by pure guesswork. Usually has a 50% chance of being right. So, danger. All right, anyone else? Okay, well, thank you so much for once again an inspiring and blessed church service and all the contribution that each one has made to make it so.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.